Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm that Nikki you know, and this is Red Fox. Fox in studio today. Oh my goodness. I'm very excited for this. This is awesome. Welcome. That sounded amazing. How long have you been playing together?
We have been playing together for approximately 2 years now, was it? Or was it three?
It was coming 2 years in this configuration.
Yeah, 2 years. We went through a couple different members, but as this quintet here, we've been playing 2 years together.
Where's everyone from?
So we're from a variety of places, actually. Tim on banjo and Jono on guitar are from the Perth, Smiths Falls, Ontario area.
Cool, me too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm from Perth. And then where is everyone else from?
Quebec City.
And I'm from a small town an hour north of Toronto. Caledon?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. All right, there you go. No one ever knows that. It's usually just in Toronto.
As someone who commutes back in... Well, I used to live in Guelph. So I would commute from Guelph to, like, Ottawa. So I'm familiar with a lot of the weird towns in between. And Daphne, where are you from?
I'm actually from Vermont.
So, whoa!
Yeah. I have dual citizenship, and I actually met... So I met Sam on drums and Jono in school. We went to Bishop's University.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then I just stayed in Canada because it's great here.
Were you on tour recently?
Yeah, we recently got back from tour... I suppose it's been a couple months now, but we toured our latest EP called Recovery. We went mostly to Southern Ontario, but we were gone for 3 weeks from the end of September to the middle of October, touring that EP, and it was really successful for us.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
What did you learn about each other while you were out touring together? Was this your first tour together?
No, we've toured a couple times before. We ended up playing many festivals over the summer, so we were very familiar with spending time with each other. But Jono was actually cast in a big movie, so we had to sort of improvise for a couple shows. Tim switched from banjo and went to guitar, and we had this whole like crazy ordeal where we were learning new stuff and how to function differently, and it was very cool and interesting for us.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you a little bit about like songwriting. Like how does that look for the band? Songwriting.
I'm going to take this one. This is Tim speaking for those who are listening and not watching. We have a bit of a process. We have a formula now.
Really?
We tried a lot of things. We tried when we first got going, we tried to like collaborate. We tried to do the whole hippie sit in a circle and all five of us write a song together thing, and it was not good.
Because everyone writes music very, very differently, I find. I mean, there's some commonalities, but for the most part, it's very unique.
For sure, and this group is definitely not lacking in strong opinions and and passion. So getting us all together in a room and trying to write music all together all the time is not great. So what we normally do is we have Jono comes up with most of the ideas, although anyone can sort of bring a foundational chord progression or a melody or something, and we start there, and then we hand it off to Daff, and she starts like playing around with it and like writing some lyrics and some melodies and stuff. Then they usually bring it to me, and then we start like the three of us, Daphne, Jono, and I, start to like make an arrangement and like make a song out of it, and then we take it to the Sams, and it becomes a complete song. So that's the process we usually follow.
The Sams, by the way, is the rhythm section.
Yes. Again, for those not watching.
We usually go by the Sams of Time, just to put a cap on it.
Love it. I love it. It's perfect. Do you want to play another song?
Yeah. Oh yes.
Sure. Every time.
So, yeah. So this next song is one that is very close to me. I actually wrote it about 6 years ago now and brought it to the band when we were first starting 2 years ago, and then sort of transformed into something really lovely. Something I never really imagined it could be. So it's about my brother and sister when I missed them a lot when I was traveling. So this one's Song for the Little Ones. Wish I could close your eyes. Wish I could take away the years I've forced into your life. Wish I could bring back that innocent smile. What can I do now? What can I? What can I do for you?
Daphne, would you tell me about your family a little bit? Tell me about your siblings.
Sure. Yeah. So I am the oldest of three. I have a younger brother and sister. We're only 2 years apart, though, so we're all very close.
Nice.
Yeah. And I used to travel a lot, so I took a year off between high school and university because I really wanted to go over to Europe. So I spent 6 months in Denmark, and I just really, really missed them a lot. And we sort of went through a tragedy of sorts, and it was just hard to deal with. And so my response in times of emotional distress is often to write music. So that song is a result of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I find, like, my family situation is also kind of... I have three sisters, and then we've had such tumultuous times that we're the only ones witnessing that, right? Because your siblings share so much of your entire life with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, like, no other kind of connection like that that you really end up getting in your life.
Yeah.
So I think that is a very special song and very cool that you have that with your siblings.
Yeah.
What about everyone else? How are the siblings looking over here?
Well, I am the youngest of three. I have an older brother and an older sister. But there is a one-year difference between the two of them and a six-year difference between my sister and myself. So when I was growing up and the tumultuous family happenings were going down, both of my siblings were already off to university. So it was just kind of me at home when all of it was going on. So much like Daphne, my coping mechanism, not like a thing. My coping mechanism was also music, and thank God I play an instrument that, you know, you just have to kind of blow off some steam and beat the life out of it for a couple hours. But I did that long enough that now I can sort of quasi say I do it professionally, so it kind of worked out.
I'm the oldest of four. Pretty close to my family. Say, like, not as close as I used to be now that I'm living in Montreal and just kind of on the grind. And if I'm not at work, I'm usually with the band or sleeping. So, honestly. But no, I mean, I... Just facts. No, but, like, I love them like crazy. And we're super close. And, like, I'm really close to my brother. I'm not creative enough with lyrics or anything to write a beautiful song about them yet.
So I have a family of seven. So I have an older sister. Yeah, I have an older sister. You better believe it. I have an older sister who is, I mean, I'm not even going to try to remember any of these ages, but my older sister who is in her late 20s. I've got a brother who's 19 or so. And then two younger sisters who are just in high school right now. So.
Do you think that really changes your dynamic when you have, like, so many siblings?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it gives you a diverse perspective on life. I think it's easy for people like me who grew up in a big family with a lot of siblings, especially siblings at different ages. You get a lot of different perspectives. And I think just having to deal with people in a very intimate setting like that can be good for you.
Yeah,
it teaches you how to be patient, for one, for sure, and tolerant of people and their space.
I'm sure there's a lot of different personalities.
Oh, yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Jonna, what about you?
I got one blood brother, but I have a similar situation to Tim that my mom got married again and had a bunch, there was a bunch, she didn't have a bunch of kids, but they already had a bunch of kids, so I guess they're called my step-siblings. So I grew up with, like, six or seven step-siblings as well.
Whoa.
Yeah. But the one thing I learned from it is just that you eat fast so you can have seconds of the meal. That's what I learned.
I learned that too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was youngest of three, and then 12 years later, we had another sister. So I'm actually, both me and my little sister are Geminis, and we're also both dragons because 12 years apart, we have the same zodiac on multiple levels. Yeah.
The Gemini thing is a dragon?
Yeah, well, so there's Chinese zodiac, which is animals, right?
Yeah.
And it's by year, and there's 12 of them.
Oh.
So I am a dragon year, and then she's the next generation dragon year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's
and then we're both Geminis, which are the twins.
Yeah.
given all my love and patience, but I'm running out of inspiration. Finding ways to tell you that I'm done. And you say, hold on, give me one more chance, babe. My time is up and you're the one to blame. All that's left to do is cut you.
Amazing. How pumped do you feel after you play that song?
Very, very pumped. We usually use that one as our opener. It's pretty high energy, pretty good way to start the show with a bang, get everyone's attention. It's a high energy banger for sure.
Yeah, I find first song, last song are really important to choose. Do you have, like, are those, like, static?
Actually, yeah. Well, because we're going through, we always change up. Like, we've tried it, like, starting on a slower song to get a more, like, ambient kind of vibes-y thing. And then we're like, and then we tried it with a faster song and gone back and forth. You never can really get it right. Because I've seen, like, I was watching, like, Radiohead on YouTube, and he comes out and plays, like, one of his slowest songs ever as the first song, and everyone loses their mind. I'm like, all right, I guess he can do that, though, so...
It helps if, like, 50,000 people know the words to your song, too. We're working on it. We're working on
it. It also helps if you've played the song, like, tons and tons and tons and tons of times.
Just gonna stand.
Yeah, I found... I used to always like to start with a song that, like, was up-tempo, easy to play, and I had a lot of fun with it. So it sounds... I don't know how easy this was for you, but it sounded really great.
It's definitely a hard song to sing. So. But, yeah. I realized very quickly that I needed to learn how to sing strong right away from the get-go, and that there were no excuses with not being warmed up enough, you know? So, yeah. It's really fun to start the show with, though.
Are you intense with your vocal warm-ups?
I should be better.
Oh, we all should be, yes. What's your stage banter like?
generally this. It also depends on, like, if there's a lot of friends in the audience, like, it's more sort of, like, breaking that fourth wall, and you're more just, like, interacting with your audience. But then, for example, we played Kempville Live Music Festival this last summer and the summer before, and this last summer we played for a couple thousand of people, and it was just, there was no time for stage banter, you know? So you just really pick and choose. You're like, thank you! That's, like, about it, you know?
Yeah, it's less of a conversation.
Yeah. More of a conversation. It really depends on the show, but, yeah.
Yeah, we're really trying to make sort of a, because banter, if you do it, it kind of seems like you're, like, a pub band sometimes. So we're trying our best to make more, like, segues into songs and all that, you know?
Well, yeah, you have a very big, like, festival music sound, which doesn't usually have much time for banter because you have, like, quick sets often, yeah. And people are there to listen and enjoy the music and just bask in it.
Yeah, we're musicians, we're not comedians, you know.
Is Sam a comedian?
I would like to think so, but the usual response I get for gigs is I'm the one member that doesn't get a mic. And it's usually for the better, so I get it.
If you could all choose one artistic career choice that is not music, what would you do? What would you be?
Drawing.
Yeah, comedy.
I'd probably do something in fine arts.
Yeah, visual arts, fine arts.
Literature, probably.
Yeah, you'd be a writer.
But, like, painting would also be nice, mostly because I really can't do it, and it would be fun to, like, figure out how that works. Like, you know.
I think that means you start your own style. Maybe that's what that means.
Sure, abstract. Yeah.
What about you, Jono? What'd you do?
I'd probably do acting if I wasn't a musician.
I mean, it sounds like you're on your way. So.
That wasn't an accident, but yeah.
This next tune is our other single off of our newest EP, Recovery. It is called Stay.
Don't you?
So that's off of the album Recovery. Recovery, why did you name it Recovery?
Oh, we went through sort of a whole bunch of ideas, brainstorms. But a lot of the songs are sort of about rebuilding and like turning a page and sort of starting new. So I thought it was fitting to name it as Recovery. But then we found that a lot of people were like, we love that album name. That's great. So we were like, sick. Like, this works out almost better than we thought.
I feel like it's very much very appropriate for right now and sort of like general conversation, what's happening in the world right now. I find that there's a lot of themes of recovery in my own life, in the lives of people that I know. I find maybe it's the time of my life, but I do think it's kind of like just end of 2019. People are recovering from things and trying to like heal so that we can like make the world a better place. And make ourselves better.
It's kind of funny because it's just our second EP. It's not even a full-length album. So our first EP was like self-titled, and then it was just Recovery, and people were like, wait, what happened?
Who went to rehab?
None of us yet.
I suppose I didn't take into account the sort of recovery with drug rehabilitation that is often associated with that word. But, I mean,
there's so many ways you can recover and so many things to recover from.
Exactly, yeah. It was more just an overarching theme that I was like, this is cool.
I don't fit. Yeah, I think it's great. It's good. Yeah, it's a great name.
You should see the album art for it.
I just did before I came over here. I checked it out. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Cassie,
you did that, Cassie?
Cassie Cassell, yeah. A friend of a friend. But she's sticking with us. We're going to keep hiring her because she's awesome. She just painted a new banjo head for Tim. And we're really excited to sort of try it out, show it off.
How did you meet her?
Through a mutual friend. And we have noticed that Facebook is a good platform for sort of being like, hey, we need help. Like, who do you know? And then everyone comments. I don't know, we got probably...
When we initially were trying to make the website and we initially reached out to web designers, I feel like we're still getting messages from people being like, oh, yeah, I heard you guys are looking for web designers. Like, we've actually had a website on for a little while now. But... they're still reaching out. It's just because like they only just saw our message now or whatever. But it's honestly great for meeting people who are trying to excel at all their own specific fields. Like we could probably make a music video, but it wouldn't be nearly as good as anything else. Or we can't make a website, or like we could, but it wouldn't be as good. So we might as well, like, we just want to make music really good, and we need good websites. We need good, like, people who can just like reach out for like our videographers and such, and like these are like their forms of art that they've been working hard at perfecting.
And honestly,
if we can go to them.
Yeah. You know. And like really what I'm noticing most about the sort of professional side of all of this, which is the hardest thing to learn too, because really nothing prepares you for how to be successful as an artist. So the best resource has been just connecting with people that are already doing it. And then they're just like, oh my gosh, yeah, we worked with this person. And like all these people sort of gather together as a community of artists that are just helping each other succeed. And like, that's been so helpful for us.
It's like, we had a fellow musician friend that we played a few shows with, but they actually just gave us they knew that we were planning our tour in Ontario, and we were going to hit a bunch of cities that we'd never hit, we don't know the venues, but he just gave us all his contact information of all these venues that they've reached out to, that they have played, and just kind of like handed that to us. This is like saved us what, like days of work, weeks of work maybe, just because it's a network. This is exactly it. Like what Daph's saying, it's like, this is how you act. And sometimes you hit like really good people that just, he didn't have to give us that, you know, but it helped us.
Absolutely. I find like being an artist is all about community, and it's so essential that you have that, and so helpful because everyone has a little bit of something, right? And if you all put your little bit of something together, then you create some really amazing things. Do you want to play another song?
Sure.
Yeah, so we got Yeah, one more, and this one's actually not released yet, so we're...
Exciting.
We're working on a new video for it, actually, coming in January. We're going to be filming it.
Amazing.
Yeah, so this is called Better Now.
Thank you for being here and being part of this podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having us. This is like really awesome experience to be in this little bit.
Yeah, I mean the podcast is called Unknown Artists, but I mean you're rapidly gaining larger and larger audiences. You're not going to be unknown for long. I think a lot of people know who you are.
Thanks.
How does that feel?
Go ahead.
Well, I just think we're pretty humble as a band. So I think all of us really want nothing more than to just play music for our lives, because we're all extremely passionate about it. So if that, it's becoming more of a possibility, which is really, really exciting. So we're just excited for the next steps, and we got a lot of good stuff coming in the next year. So we're really excited.
Yeah, tell me more about the music video, or what can you tell me about the music video?
What I can tell you is we filmed in a train tunnel.
A train tunnel?
A train tunnel.
That's exciting.
Fancy lights and stuff, and there's going to be paint involved.
Lots of paint. Are we talking like OK Go levels paint?
OK Go.
No.
No, but and we're being smarter this time. Is we're not playing our show until March. Usually, it's always like we try to fit in like 3 tours a year, and so this time we're like, no, let's chill and make a song. We're going to Planet World.
Planet Studios
to record, and that's a month. We're doing that on Sunday, and then we're filming a month later, and then we're releasing it a month later, so we have time to chill. I'm sure it won't be like that at all. It'll be like last minute.
Chill moment. In quotations.
It won't be chill. It will not be chill.
Yeah, chill isn't something that musicians often. Well, I don't know. I guess it really depends on what kind of musician you are. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like if you're doing 3 tours a year, you're not particularly chill.
Well, it depends, right? It depends on how organized about all of it you're going to be, right? I mean, if you take the time to, you know, sit down, get the 5 in room, and make a plan, you know, by this point in time, we want to have this and this done, and then, you know, by this point, we want this and this. If you make it, you know, more bite-sized pieces throughout a year, it's easier to sort of achieve each individual goal, as opposed to just like, yeah, let's try it, see what happens. Like, that's when it just falls apart and it's not chill. But if you can be organized enough about it, then it's a little more seamless.
To add to that, though, it's like we, like Jonathan said, we're giving ourselves more time for this now, so that, because like at the same time too, it's like this project, this video, this song succeeding also requires more people than just us 5. It requires like that the studio we're going to, that like they respect the deadlines, that the videographers we go to, they, etc. But like the thing is, like, there's always hiccups that could happen that we didn't foresee, that they didn't foresee. And so like by giving us this ample time to do this, we can like, you know, if there's a little hiccup, we're still not going to be like freaking out. We don't need to like push off deadlines farther. It's like giving ourselves like a deadline that's, everything should be done probably a few weeks before it's released, but like this, we've got like some leeway, you know, so we can have like less stressful band meetings.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the reasons we're giving ourselves more time now is that what we didn't realize, and what I think most people don't realize about releasing a music video in particular, is just how many people other than the band are involved in the making of it. There's a small army of engineers and videographers and extras for this video. We have, like, just trying to assemble 10 to 15 people in one place for this is going to be hard work, and you know, so it takes time, and I think we underestimated how much time it can take just to get things done. But yeah, so more time is better.
But also, like, the most important thing is to just always have a plan, right? A goal that you're working towards. So like, in our, as per like Jono's sort of vision, in the first couple months that we were together, like, we had our website going, we were ordering merch, we got a logo designed, we had like 5 songs like ready to record, and like at least demos of them that we could like release and start a Facebook page, and like within like 3-4 months we were hitting the road running, and then ever since then we haven't stopped. And like you just need those goals. And the
When you go on tour, so you tour 3 times a year, roughly. Do you go to the same places each time? Is it basically like the same kind of tour?
We did when we were first starting out, just because it's, you know, as an unknown band, it's kind of hard to get your foot in the door with certain venues. So for a while, it was playing the same few places that, you know, would take us. But with each time we hit the road, we grew. Our, you know, designated areas we want to hit. way more. So like the first tour we did, I think was like
three cities.
It was like three cities in like a week, and then the one that we just did over the fall, it was like 3 weeks and what, like
12,
like, yeah, 12,
14 dates, yeah. Whatever. Counting like kept together like all the little commitments we had. It was something like that. It was a pretty jam packed.
Yeah, 12 in like 3 weeks. I don't know. Any closing remarks? Anything that you feel like, if people haven't heard your stuff, they don't know anything about you, what should they know? What should they check out?
It's going to be changing all the time. If you've seen us before and you come see us again, like, it's going to be completely different. Like we're writing like 5 new songs right now that we're hoping to pull out of our show. So. We're just trying to make it interesting all the time. We're really trying to nail down that sound we're trying to get. And it's really hard, but it's a really exciting process. So. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the guys are patient with you, and glad that the family patient with us. And thank you so much for having us, too. This is the stuff that really helps us as a band.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming. And Red Fox, everyone. I think that's a wrap. I think that we're good.
Thanks so much.
Snaps. Unknown Artist is recorded at the library, and please check out our Patreon page and support us, share all the love. See you next week.